This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Hello, we're the Kransky Sisters on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Phil.
That must be Gordon here then.
Well, it's a change from the usual sequence that we do.
Yes, here. That's right. I just wondered what was happening.
You're lucky I didn't say I'm Gordon.
Yes. Well,
it's usually the way it works.
As long as we don't sound like the Kranskys.
That was actually them, it wasn't us. I don't want you to confuse anybody.
Yes.
I'm not going to partake in that. Myself, the creeps.
They are not creepy.
They're scary.
They're scary. They're fun ladies. They really are fun ladies. Yeah.
Well, happy Queen's Birthday weekend to you all.
Yes. We've got through it, I think.
Well,
to all the queens that had a birthday, many happy returns.
Yes. I think there was a few queens out partying as well.
It's weird how we actually love a long weekend, a stretched weekend, as they sometimes call it in Europe.
Well, we are the land of the long weekend, aren't we? That's what they call Australia, the land of the long weekend.
It could well be.
Well, we don't have a long white cloud, so we've got to have something long.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got Geelong.
They've got the wrong white crowd.
Do they? I haven't met them.
That's what the Maoris say about New Zealanders.
Oh.
The wrong white crowd.
Okay.
Just so long as they get their patch and chaps.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right.
That's right. But why are we actually celebrating Betty's birthday when, in fact, it's not her actual birthday?
No, she's 21st of April, I think, is her actual birth date. But it's a date that's set by the government, or actually by Queen's Proclamation, or the proclamation of the King or the Queen, when they would like their birthday to be celebrated. But it's normally in the middle of the year because it's the Northern Hemisphere summer. So they have the holiday in a weekend that's going to give them perhaps nice weather, because they usually have the trooping of the colour and all that sort of carry on with the birthday. But it actually celebrates the birthday of King George II in 1728 or something.
1748.
Rather. 1748.
Yes. That's right.
I wasn't there.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, I thought you were.
So, in fact, as far as Australia's concerned, this is the Regent's birthday, whilst we still have a monarchy.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And Victoria and Queensland are the only two states that don't celebrate the Queen's birthday on the second Monday of June.
Because so who were those two states again?
West Australia and Queensland.
Philip, is that...
We'll take it to the judge who said Victoria.
Hey?
Yeah. You did.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
No, that's okay. West Australia and Queensland. Just don't know which state you show your allegiances to.
I don't know what state
I don't know why WA mightn't fall into line with the rest of the states, but I can understand why Queensland wouldn't, because... You know, it might fade their curtains as well.
I can understand.
That's being sarcastic.
If you want to know why WA don't, it's because it's Foundation Day in WA. They have Foundation Day on the 2nd of June. And so it sort of gets involved with the Queen's birthday weekend. So
that means that when we don't have a regent, we can't convert the Regent's Day into Republic Day, because it's already buggered up by WA.
Well, only on the first weekend of June. They can have it any other time they want. That's why the WA have the Queen's birthday holiday weekend at a completely separate date.
So you reckon we can still have Republic Day on the 12th of June,
second Monday in June. Depends when they decide to declare us a republic, whether we would have it. If it happens on the 13th of May, well, that'll be Republic Day, won't it? wouldn't wait until the 12th of June or the second birthday.
What about the 4th of July?
Well,
we've already got Independence Day.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
No, we don't.
But the Queen's birthday holiday is celebrated this time of year so that the ski bunnies can get a long weekend. Period.
That's only in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, what else matters?
Oh, in Victoria specifically.
Specifically, yeah.
And only if we've had snow.
And we have this year already, so...
There's been a bit light
dusting.
The machines
have been making snow. Mm-hmm.
But in here...
That shows you that the seasons have changed a little bit because it used to be much earlier that we would get snow.
But there's no such thing as climate change.
Oh, who's your saviour? Who's telling you
the
that?
The fella from Tasmania.
Oh,
Senator Roberts.
Another rabbit.
And then there's Senator Roberts from Queensland.
Oh, yeah, good.
Well, there's a few of them that
don't... Well, he's been out in the sun too much, I think.
Oh, I think so, yeah, but I love that thing about science. Chap said that it's all right to have a decent brain, but don't let it leak out. Some similar words to that effect, but meaning that Senator Roberts had let his brain loose.
Yeah, no, he said that a scientist has an open mind.
That's right, yeah.
Not to the point where the information actually leaks out.
It's interesting to note how solar energy is now becoming quite mainstream. We are thinking about it even before there's, or even now that there's no real feedback tariff benefit. We just now consider that it's our right and proper behaviour as citizens of the world to do what little bits we can to stop the carbon cycle from heating us all up.
I have solar panels on my roof at home. I feed in more than I use, actually, but I don't get paid the same, you know, which is a problem. If they paid you a bit more, people would be very happy because, let's face it, we're saving the coal mine.
Well, you see, when we get proper batteries that will actually allow us to store our own energy, then they'll start taxing the size of the solar array on your roof because you're not actually providing anything back for the general. You're being very selfish.
A very good friend of mine is already looking to, he's got the solar panels on his roof, he's already looking and pricing out the batteries to go completely off the grid. And he lives here in suburban Victoria.
Probably a bit early because the batteries are still up around the $20,000 mark. You've got to use a lot of electricity to pay that off.
What about Mr. Elon Musk?
Elon Musk, he's the one selling the batteries for $20,000.
Well, he's one that's come out totally against what?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, yes.
Yeah, well, a lot of major corporates have come out against Apple's Tim Cook, who's part of our community.
Yes.
Says he's selling America backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's speaking from a very safe place because his new headquarters is going to be carbon neutral.
Now, what do you mean by that? Please.
He won't use anybody else's power.
Right.
And all the power he does use is naturally generated from his own roof. This is a massive circular building they're building in Cupertino, California.
Do they call it the donut or something?
No, it's a spaceship.
Oh, the spaceship.
Because it looks like a flying saucer. But, the entire roof is solar cells. They've got fuel cells for waste products and methane. So that's translating...
Methane gas into...
Gas and junk into electricity. Mm-hmm. And they've also contracted a solar farm nearby to produce the balance of their power.
That they need.
So they'll be taking nothing off the grid and setting a rather good example. All their cloud computers are solar powered and battery backup.
It's interesting because recently when Donald Trump said he was not going to have anything to do with the
Paris Accord.
The Paris Accord, a lot of the states, individual states of America, said that they were going to form a group and they would go to the United Nations and try to be signed up to the Paris Accord because they were not going to do what Donald Trump wanted.
Yeah, well, a lot of people in America, and I guess California, who's got a history of correcting their abuse of the atmosphere because they were drowning in their own smog. Their emission levels and everything have been under the microscope for decades. And to hear some fool in the other side of the country come out and say, well, it's not fair to America, we're not going to play, it's not progressive.
It's interesting to see who the three countries are that are the most polluting. China is the first one, America is the second one, and by head of population, Australia beats them all. We have more... per head of population, Australia produces more gases and things than the rest of the world.
And most of that comes out of Canberra.
Yeah.
Some of our hottest air, I tell you.
Yeah, but they could be used to do some turbines, couldn't
they? Well, you breathe into this spooling. keep the state afloat.
Now, I've got a little bone to pick with Mr. Apple.
Really?
In as much as he, amongst all the producers of electronic apparatus...
Gadgetry,
thank you. There is a bad pollution problem coming from inert, deaded, old, worn-out, superseded electronic devices.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about my computer.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Apple products don't seem to be recycled. They seem to be improved out of existence, upgraded with new operating systems.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the old one, can't it keep working and working and working?
Are you comparing it to a PC where you might just put in a new motherboard and upgrade it? you don't upgrade Apple hardware in that form because the factory is the only place a computer should be built. I don't think the average Joe knows how fragile the electronics is. And if you put in, say, your latest processor chip or your upgraded memory or whatever, or a new motherboard, you become the factory. And chances are you're not using any anti-static protection at all. And you're killing your computer as you do it.
That would probably negate any warranties or what's name.
It would happen long outside the warranty period.
Yeah.
But Apple say, well, you buy a new one and you get all the quality of a new one.
So if I buy a new Apple product, can I take my old Apple products back for them to recycle?
Your phones, you can either go to your Apple store or any of the people you see advertised on TV giving you money for your old phones.
Yeah.
Because they're literally recycled to get the rare earth elements and the gold.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So there's physical value in your old phone, even if it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So if I take my old packaging back, will they take that as well?
That would be your new packaging.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I've still
because
got my
you can recycle that. Well, you recycle that through other areas.
Because I have 1, 2, 3 old computers at home. They're all stored in the boxes they came in because I kept them. But so what do I do?
That's hoarding. That's another issue.
What do I do with them? No, they're not. They're out in the shed. And I just don't know what to do with them.
You could donate them to the various user groups because they'll be becoming historic objects soon.
Yes, well,
if you'd had an Apple One, which you bought for $666.66 in America.
The devil's number.
Yes. One recently sold at auction for $600,000.
Hmm. Wow.
So, and that's...
Was that in working order still?
Who cares? At that point, you've got an Apple One. It'd be hard to find many programs to run on it too, but...
there we are.
Because they didn't come with a mouse either, did they?
Oh, it was not a Macintosh. It was an Apple One with a keyboard. It barely had a screen.
That's right. Yeah.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. There's more.
You're so cool. Did you come from the freezer? Wanna bust out my visa for you? You're so fresh. Did you come from the clean?
Great shows. Great topics. Great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks very much for being with us. We're in the middle of Blood Donor Week. World Health Organization.
So the World Health Organization, otherwise known as WHO.
Has deemed that this is the week, the 12th to the 18th of June, 2017. And whilst a lot of us gay people can't give blood, blood is still required by those who can give it, especially to those people who need it. It's not the giving so much that's a problem, it's those that are receiving it is the real problem. They need enough blood in the system to support the operations that occur in hospitals, and situations that arrive from accidents, sort of situations.
But just occasionally, the blood bank will put out an emergency call out for certain groups of blood because they have run rather short, you know. So if you know anything about it, I've never been able to give blood because when I wanted to start to give blood, they wouldn't take it from gay people.
No. Well, me either, and I had a double whammy. I've got malaria in my blood. I've had malaria, so they said, we prefer not to. Thank you very much.
I donated for years and years and years from my late teens.
Yeah.
I got a free biscuit and a drink.
It's a wonderful thing to do because it does help a hell of a lot of people survive, as you say, operations. and places where there's been accidents where they've needed blood straight away and plasma.
There's another advantage. If you had an employer like mine, who's sadly no longer around, you get time off work to go donate.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we used to go as a group.
Oh, right.
So as an apprentice, I didn't get the chance to say no. No. Dragged along.
You just got dragged there.
That's right. Now, when you were in the States, did the blood service over there actually pay you?
Allegedly, they do. I didn't sell any blood while I was there because I had a boss paying me cash money.
Oh, right. So he paid you.
I got wages instead of selling my blood.
All right. So but I think time off in lieu.
There are people who do sell their blood
and that supplement. Was, that was the problem, too, with the AIDS virus came along. People were still selling their blood and they just didn't test it or anything. And that's the way that a lot of the things happened in America.
Contaminated blood
they were getting.
There was
because,
no contaminated blood in Australia, was
well,
there?
They did. There was a couple because the young, in the very early days, the haemophiliac young lad, he passed away with the disease. And but then they quickly found out that it was a blood-borne virus, so they started stopping people that were having sex, men-to-male sex, you know. So it, it obviated it all.
Now they've realised by... that, in fact, there's more people having sex that have had opportunity to spread sexually transmittable diseases, including HIV, than that they might have realised. Because of all the bi people and...
well, there's a, in the old days, of course, the tourists that used to go up to Asia to do this, like on sex tours and things like that, you know, and they came back and the blokes infected their wives, you know, which is pretty horrible. Or girlfriends or whatever.
And those guys who have men, male-to-male sex, who don't consider themselves as gay, they were outside
The spectrum.
They were outside the information links that were available to the rest of the gay community.
The safety net almost.
Exactly, Philip, yes. So there was probably a very good reason why you can opt out.
Yes, Australia.
Yeah. But hopefully in future we will be included in the available donors.
Yes. Well, you would
because it is quite literally a good feeling to give blood.
Yeah. Well, of course, bleeding, leaching your own blood has been an old-fashioned remedy.
That was an old thing. They thought they could cure everything by reducing the blood flow. So they'd get the leeches to take all the... thing and they'd put leeches onto sores and things and let them take the. They think that was the way to cure things. Yeah.
Well, that word believe. I have so much problems with that word.
They probably felt that because the body tended to restore its own blood supply, that taking out a pint of damaged blood would result in the body creating a pint of new, clean blood. But it was the same stuff running around, just cleaned out and boosted up, so it was dangerous.
But your body replaces its blood every 24 hours. This is why if you're taking tablets on a course of antibiotics or something, rather, you have to take them because your blood changes every 24 hours. It keeps renewing, so you have to keep the drugs that you're using in your body. That's why you should always take your full drug dosage that the doctor gives you. If he says take these for 10 days, you must take them for 10 days.
Now, look, I never knew that. Thank you very much, Gordon. That's gorgeous. And we must not forget women and their periods and the fact that they can sometimes get iron deficiencies and they need to be topped up with some decent blood as well. So at one stage, I think there was a blood bank that would store your own blood and you could go and get topped up with your own blood.
Well, a very good friend of mine, he was losing blood, but they could never find out where. It was just disappearing. And he was up in one of the hospitals here in Victoria. He was there for months. And every week or so, he'd have to have another pint of blood.
Of course, we've got to have decent blood running around our bodies because it carries all the vitamins, these sorts of things.
All the minerals and things that we need.
To every part of your little body. And it's interesting that we talk about eating clean food and purging our bodies of
the rubbish.
The rubbish that we've been putting down. But, of course, you've got a little organ that does that. It's called your liver.
But if you abuse your liver, then it becomes very, very unhealthy.
How can you
unhealthy.
Abuse your liver?
With alcohol and
too much booze.
Too much booze and too many things like that.
And verbally.
And verbal.
Stupid liver. they don't like that.
Don't they?
No.
Oh, it's the biggest organ in your body apart from your skin.
If you haven't yet, You still have time to sign up, renew your membership, or donate to Joy this Radiothon. You'll go into the draw to win a Holden Astra, a MotoGP helicopter adventure, a midsummer VIP experience, or a cruise to New Caledonia. Support us now. Head to joy.org.au for details. We still need Joy, and Joy still needs you.
One of the foods that we eat that I was introduced to as a youngster, because I think it was very tasty at that time, is a black spread that goes on your bread or toast.
Mm.
And only Australian kids who are real Australians have an appreciation for it.
But that's because if you give a child something when they're very young and they get a taste for it, it'll stay with them for the rest of their lives. That's why, Vegemite was one of those things that you were introduced to as a child, because it's actually very good for you, because it's got lots of goodies in it, because it's only vegetable matter that it's made from. There's no animal stuff in it at all. You know, that's why it's called Vegemite, because it's veg.
Vegetables.
Yes, but it's one of those things. But there's a lot of, like children in Indonesia, once they're weaned, they are given the food that everybody else eats straight away.
The rice and the curries.
The rice and the curries and the heat and everything, so that they get used to that and they don't want anything else, because anything else tastes so pallid and bland and everything that they only want the food that they are used to.
I wonder if they'd like Vegemite.
I don't know.
Because, Phil, how do the tin tanks cope with Vegemite?
Almost universally hate it, but they're introduced to it as adults.
Yeah.
So they don't have that training period.
No.
But it is a delicacy. We had to drive 45 minutes in Northern California to a specialty import food service to get our Vegemite from Australia.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And there were also meat pies, which is another concept that America can't get its head around. You give somebody a pie, they want to know what sort of fruit is in it.
Uh-huh.
Or whether it's maybe pumpkin or key lime or something like that. Meat in a pie. Ugh, it revolts them.
But some Americans that come to Australia get used to eating a meat pie because they realise it's a very convenient food to be able to have.
Well, it's a convenient food and it tastes a little more palatable than Vegemite.
To them it does, yes.
And Australians are very cruel to Americans, because when they introduce Vegemite, they tell the Americans to put it on like peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, but you don't.
Which they do.
Yeah, which is the worst.
And then it burns their mouth and they run away crying.
A little bit goes a long way.
That's right. Yes. It's just a taste.
Just a taste.
But what is it about Vegemite? It's salty, slightly bitter. It's malty and rich in umami, a glutamate similar in flavour to beef bouillon.
Mm.
That's what you cry out in the middle of the night when you've got a tummy ache.
Beef bouillon.
No. Umami. Umami.
Well, of course, they had Marmite in England, which was made from a beef product. That's the difference between Marmite and Vegemite.
Yeah.
Because they're two totally different concepts of food. One's meat, one's vegetable.
Theirs is meat-based, but it's still a yeast extract. Mm. Ours is veggie-based meat.
No meat in Vegemite.
If you, in fact, saw at the brewery the waste byproduct yeast that goes to the Vegemite factory, you may never drink beer or eat Vegemite again.
It's what makes us little Australians, little Australians.
That's right, yes.
What was the old song? Puts a rose in every cheek.
We're happy little Vegemites, as bright as bright can be.
I must admit that when I go on holidays, I take a couple of those little pouches of it and spread it when I'm in the hotel.
You know what I found in my garden?
Vegemite.
A Vegemite.
No, I did. It was a white porcelain Vegemite jar. From back in the 30s, in my garden. Somebody had put it in the garden. It was still there.
No, white glass.
Not white glass or whatever it was. Yeah, white glass with, yes.
What was the use-by date?
I don't know, but it was, well, it was well emptied and used. Yes.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Orlando Massacre.
Yes, that's the anniversary, isn't it?
Roundabout now, this is dreadful.
Yep.
And we'll be talking about Boy George. And we'll be talking about space junk and men's junk. You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us today. On the 12th of June 2016, in Orlando, Florida, in the US, there was a disgustingly hideous and vile event occurred. It was a shooting in a nightclub. It was almost like shooting fish in a barrel, wherein 49 people were killed and 53 were wounded. And the single person who did this was a 29-year-old security guard who was really mentally deranged, it would seem. And we're talking about at the Pulse Gay Nightclub in Orlando. It was such a shocking thing to
occur. Yeah, when you heard that on the news, you were just absolutely, mind was blown away, because how could that happen? He just walked into the place with a gun and started shooting. But he'd been there the week before, obviously sussing the place out.
I can remember thinking, my Godfather, that's our community, our people. Mm. Who hates 49 people so badly that they've got to be killed? Or the 53 that were wounded?
Mm. I think it was internalised homophobia, they sort of thought about it, because he was a homegrown Muslim.
In the US.
In the US.
The Muslims have got a great problem with gay people. So his religion would have been telling him one thing. His body may have been telling him another thing. And the internal homophobia became external. This is a theory, because we didn't get to interview him.
No.
Another elephant in the room is the fact that he had access to semi-automatic guns.
Well, there you go.
Oh.
So if he'd had no access to these weapons, he couldn't have possibly done that damage with anything else. Well, he can have all the same hate.
He could have had a knife and done a fair bit of damage before he was stopped, but it's just...
The quantities would be significantly lower.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and you're more inclined to approach a guy from behind with a knife than a guy with a semi-automatic gun who can just turn around and blow you to
bits. Yeah. But it's,
well, he was married.
He had a wife, yes.
Had a wife.
And a baby.
He had the baby with the second wife.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first wife reckoned that he was mentally unstable and obviously disturbed, because she left him after a few months. And he was, something had traumatized him, and he was also physically abusive. And he also had a history of using steroids.
Well, now, they could send you...
Roid rage is a thing.
If you'd use too many of them,
And apparently, earlier on in his life, he had gone to a couple of gay nice clubs with an acquaintance and had a male-to-male sex experience, and that person had let him know that he'd actually been positive at that stage, and presumably the killer in this instance thought that he was as well.
Mm.
And so he had a couple of big reasons there to hate any gays or gays. On the 14th of June 1961 was born George Allan O'Dowd, known professionally as Boy George, an English singer-songwriter, DJ, fashion designer and photographer. He was the lead singer of the Grammy and Brit Award-winning pop band Culture Club. And at the height of the band's fame during the 1980s, they recorded wonderful global hits, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Or Karma Chameleon, which I think we might try and play for
Karma
you.
Chameleon. I still like that song after all these years. I still think it's got something about it that just sort of, it gets into you and makes you feel good.
It had a very cheesy video to coincide with its release.
Yeah.
But if you watch the video, you now know why he's called himself Boy George, because you may not have assumed that from the video.
I see.
He's boy, maybe girl, I don't know, George, from the visual.
He was known as an androgynous person. His sexuality or gender wasn't particularly identifiable from the way he dressed.
Which is a gimmick. It got him a gig.
Yeah.
Got him a gig, made him a lot of money.
Yeah, he was still hanging around.
Yeah, still there too.
Yes. He's on, what is it, The Voice?
Yes, yeah. That's
up
right.
Up in Sydney at the
moment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, good on him. Like, he's another one that sort of came through a terrible drug habit as well. You know, like a lot of them did in those days. You know, a lot of them were on drugs.
I'm not sure whether that was a... I'm not trying to acquit him of any blame.
No.
But I don't know whether that was part of the industry or whether it was self-choice.
Yeah.
He got hooked on heroin quite badly, apparently.
It was after his heyday. Oh, so that may well have been
something that was sort
after
of
the fall.
After the fall. Yeah. Mm, right, yeah. But I know that he was, like a lot of others, that tried everything and anything that was going, I think. But he's still quite a good entertainer. He's got quite a good voice, even when he sings solo now. He's quite good. But they've gone back together, haven't they? The Boy George
Culture Club
have come back together.
Yeah. I'm
there'll be probably a percentage of them.
Yes.
Which is how, in this time, we seem to have nostalgic yearnings for groups from the 80s. I guess it's while they're still alive, we should get them back touring again.
These days, a lot of the covers are coming out of copyright, or they're getting access to the original tapes, and then the current mob of whoever produces, music producers, grab them and re-beat them.
Yeah, but they still have to get permission from the original
they
artist.
Probably do, so that's one way of getting a reuse cycle the original product. So we're talking about recycling earlier on. We're doing with music.
The whole music industry
but
recycles.
I think copyright lasts for about 50 years or something, doesn't it? It's a long period of time. Mm. If you want to use somebody else's material, you must ask about it if you can use it.
You must indeed. So, 14th of June, happy birthday to Boy George.
Yes, I guess he'll probably be out celebrating somewhere.
1961 he was born, so...
That makes him 56.
56? Mm. Oh, he's a youngster. Mm. Well, compared to some of us.
Yeah. Who are
you're
talking?
At Joy, 94.9, been there, done that, with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Stay tuned, there's more.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. We've been around long enough, Gordon, Chris and Phil, to know when lots of things came around the first time.
Where?
Like in fashions.
and flight.
And
I remember the first Boeing 747. And the Concorde when it first came to Australia.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, had to go right down the Big J to come up over the Great Australian Bight. Wasn't allowed to fly over any of the continent in case it damaged some of the buildings.
Their sonic boom,
yeah.
All right. Now, we've almost come to the last of this jumbo jets, the 747s.
It's a very, very sad situation.
It's a beautiful plane.
Built like a Boeing 747.
I thought you were going to say something else there, Phil.
Well, I nearly did, and Chris nearly did, but if you think about it, being built like a 747 is a mighty fine compliment.
So does that mean actually that because they're coming to the end of that technology has moved on? I do think that the Americans don't have a space industry much anymore. NASA is out of existence?
No, NASA's hanging around.
They're still going. Yeah.
They're privatising. Well, actually, it's always been a mixture of government and private industry.
Because I remember Boeing did the 747, but Boeing also did some of the spacecraft.
The rockets were made by a private company, or the solid booster rockets. Essentially, it was assembled by NASA. It's true also for the Apollo mission. They weren't actually making all those bits. They just assembled them in the tallest building in Florida.
I'm a little bit worried, Phil, that in fact the cheapest price was accepted from all these companies that were...
That's always been the way, though.
They're making Lockheed, all the componentry.
Rockwell was another one. All these private companies, these are huge military companies as well. They did the development and the production of all these things, and NASA put them together, having specified what they wanted. And it's true now, like your SpaceX and your Virgin Space and all those people. SpaceX have got a contract from NASA to supply the space station with food and such things. So they're
airline food going... Did you say Virgin?
Well, Virgin Space, I think, probably has different food to
Virgin. To what you get on the airplane.
Probably the same level of service.
Out of chicken. Then 1963, on the 16th of June, the Soviets launched the first woman into space, but it was 20 years later, the 18th of June, 1983, that the USA launched its first woman into space.
But I think if you were Russian, you would have been told to go. I don't think you would have dared to say no.
I think in 1963, they probably did it to see what would happen. I think America probably decided it was probably more, not political, but maybe political correctness in the 80s to send a female up there. Well, it was the race. It was also the challenge set by Kennedy. And Kennedy had, he had quite a following, but he had enemies as well.
Oh, yeah.
Enemies is a bad word, but a lot of the people in the space industry owed their existence to Kennedy's promise. to get a man on the moon and return him. So they owed him a lot, and they got it done within that decade. And they spent billions of dollars, and we have a few products today that wouldn't have existed without the space race.
Teflon.
Teflon's one, but the most unusual or unknown one is the Sony Walkman. They needed a cassette recorder whose motor was not affected by the G-forces of takeoff. Because if you think of, you're in a little electrical motor spinning it, you know, a few times a minute, and you've got 9 Gs pulling you down to Earth, your motor's going to go... So Sony developed one that would counteract what's called wow and flutter, and that became handy for when you're walking along with your music player. You don't want
the music to
vary.
Things bouncing around in your pocket.
So that's where the Walkman came from.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, now we know.
But then course,
it was worth spending all that money to get a man into space.
Yeah, because they've been superseded, haven't they, now?
With solid
else.
State,
well, tape's
with
gone.
No
solid
moving
stuff.
Parts. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the first steps... You
that's
don't
right.
get to the end
that's
of
right.
your walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about things in your pocket bouncing when you're walking, we're talking about men's junk. The 12th to the 18th of June 2017, same as World Blood Donor Week, we've got Men's Health Week. And once again, it's an opportunity for men to realise their infallibility, that if they've got family that depends on them, they should be looking after their own health. If they've got financial responsibilities, if they've got pets.
And they shouldn't be afraid to go to the doctor. It seems to be the most unmanly thing to do.
We should take a leaf out of the book for the women's book, because they've got the women's glam and gossipy magazines, which always have doctor sections in those. And tell the doctor about this, tell the doctor. Men don't actually have reference documents that they can go to that they would bump into in just general day-to-day activities. So they don't have this subtle way of being indoctrinated.
These days where if a man gets sick and he goes to the work and the boss, he says, look, I'm not feeling well. The boss doesn't say, look, go and see a doctor. Go, take the time off, go to the doctor. Oh, you'll get over it. You know, this is the attitude, you see.
It is indeed.
And this is the problem.
We teach our youngsters, the young boys at least, to man up, to be butch and you know, put up with a little bit of pain. But they carry that through unnecessarily into adulthood.
And that's also true for mental health. We're told as men not to
give in,
emote, which essentially tells you not to deal with it. And that is dangerous.
Very dangerous.
There is a fair amount of men's focused advertising on the TV, subtly placed. Are You Okay Day is one day during the year when guys are allowed to say that to other guys. They've been given social permission to do that. I don't know whether they can actually advise other guys how to resolve the problems, but I suppose talking is the first part, isn't it?
I saw a quote the other day that not just men, but people with mental illness look surprisingly like people who don't have mental illness. So it's not something you can diagnose from afar.
By looking at it. You can't look at it.
Of course, you've got stresses and other pressures on men's role and responsibility in society that just might overburden them and take them to that point of stressing out or burning out.
It's very easy to get stressed out in certain situations.
I'm worried about the younger generation. I'm not picking on the younger generation, but I think a lot of the kids, as they grow, lose the opportunity and the reality of face-to-face conversation. They're too busy with little earplugs in their phones.
And a screen that says they've got hundreds of friends, most of which they'll never meet.
That's a bit of a worry then, isn't it?
I cannot imagine what future societies are going to have to deal with unless these people go out and leave their virtual reality and try some actual reality.
Well, that's one of the things I saw on a show called Ask the Doctor or something, rather. They said that was about sleep.
Yeah.
And they said that you should not be using any device that has a blue light on it for an hour before you go to sleep, because the blue light gets the melatonin going and keeps you awake.
And if we get back to Boeing, in the 787 Dreamliner... The name coming from it helps you get some
the
sleep.
New big plane.
They change their lighting
cabin
in the cabin
lighting.
From blue to an orangey brown as the night progresses.
Ah, right.
To allow you to
down.
Produce your melatonin.
Melatonin reduces the production of melatonin, which comes from through the eyes. Yes.
Thanks for being with us tonight. It's been brilliant. Well, today or whenever you're listening to us, because you can listen to us as a podcast. at any time to suit your own availability.
And you can write to us at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Okay. Right you are. We'll catch you next week.
Yes, bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.